We'll commence our service this morning by singing hymn 549. 549. Forward be our watchword, steps and voices joined. Seek the things before us, not a look behind. Beautiful hymn, urging us to press on at the command of the Lord to go forward. Therefore, let's stand and sing. Think of the words as we're singing to the Lord. 549.
Still our hearts in the presence of the Lord this morning. Let's still our hearts before God in prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed as we come to talk to the Lord and seek His face and reverently come before His throne, realizing who He is. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee this morning humbly and reverently. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Thy beloved Son, we thank Thee that we can come before Thy throne because of that work that Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary and the precious blood that purchased our redemption. We thank Thee, our God, that we can come to Thee, that we can fall before Thy footstool and we can beseech Thy throne and we can plead the merits of that shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that we stand upon redemption ground this morning, the ground of peace. We thank Thee, our God, our Heavenly Father, that we can go forward into a new year having that courage and strength because of Thy promises the promises that are yea and amen to us who are in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we approach thy holy throne, we pray that thou wilt empty us of our sin and cleanse us afresh in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be conscious that we're coming into the presence of a righteous and a holy God. Help us, our God, our Father, to be conscious today that we come into the presence of an almighty God. We thank thee that there's none can withstand or withstay thy hand, but we thank thee that all power is thine. And as we come before thee today, we ask of thee, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou wilt presence thyself with us in a mighty way as we wait before thee this morning. We pray that we might come with that expectant heart, desiring, yea, Lord, longing to hear thy word, a word from thee to our individual hearts. We pray for those that are not saved. And, O God, they're still strangers to thee and to thy grace. And we thank thee that they're found in thy house today. But, O God, we long. Lord, we cry unto thee that one day that they will be found in thy house in heaven through the merits and through the covering of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, we pray that thou wilt save such today. And let not one that's gathered in thy house today perish in their sin. But, O God, bring them lovingly and tenderly unto thyself. We pray for those that mourn today, that thou wilt comfort them. We pray for those, our God, today that would love to be among the people of God, but can't be here because of sickness, because of frailty. O God, I pray in Jesus' name that they might know thy presence with them, that the presence of the Lord may be very sweet in their homes, or in hospital, or wherever they are. And so we commit ourselves to thee this morning. Remember the family of God that's bowed in thy presence. We ask of thee that thou wilt, our God, bind us together, that thou wilt cover us afresh in the precious blood of Christ. Take away anything and everything that would hinder or mar thy blessing amongst us. And, O God, we pray that there might be perfect liberty for the preaching of the Word of God. Hear and answer prayer. We plead these requests in the name of Jesus and for his glory alone. Amen. Amen. We're turning to the hymn 555. When Israel out of bondage came, a sea before them lay. The Lord reached down his mighty hand and he rolled the sea away. 555. We'll stand to worship God as we sing together, please.
Forward still.
I want us to open the Word of God this morning in the book of Isaiah chapter 2. That's the second chapter of the book of Isaiah. We follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy Word together. Every Bible open and God's people gathered round the Word of God. Let us hear what God says in His Word. In Isaiah chapter 2, we commence reading there at the verse number 9. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust, for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of His majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, upon all the pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty, when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rock and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty, when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Amen. And we know that God will add His blessing to the reading of His precious word. For His name's sake, amen. We bid you welcome this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that God will bless our coming together, and as we open the scriptures and hear God's servant break the bread of life, we pray that you'll be blessed in your soul. Then remember, after the service this morning, we meet around the Lord's table, and we ask God's people to come and to remember the Lord's death until He come. That's immediately after our service this morning. At 3:30 this afternoon, there's the gospel open air. Of course, the weather's somewhat difficult today, but it'll be, God willing, in King William III in Makarrah. But we ask God's people to meet first of all at 3 o'clock here, and then they will have a time of prayer. And then the decision concerning the open air, God willing, will be in King William III Crescent. At 6 o'clock this evening, we have God's people ask you to come and pray with us and for us. And then at 7 o'clock, the old-time gospel evening service. Do gather with us. I know the weather is somewhat inclement, and realize the temptation will be to stay at home, but I trust indeed that God will give you a burden to come to His house, and that you'll gather in the house of the Lord around God's precious and God's holy word this evening. And I'll be here to minister God's precious word in the gospel evening service. Then we have the meetings and the will of God for this incoming week. Do please remember the meetings and pray that God will richly bless and undertake. Monday evening is at the men's fellowship meeting, is at 8 o'clock. And then on Tuesday morning at 10:30 is the parents and toddlers meeting. In the afternoon at 2:30 it is the senior citizens meeting. And at 7:15 it is the men's outreach meeting, our meeting together on the doorsteps. And that will be in Hazeldene and Tubermore Road here in the town. So remember all of those meetings, the will of God. Tomorrow night, that is at 8 o'clock, the men's fellowship. Tuesday morning at 10:30 is the parents and toddlers. At 2:30 in the afternoon, the senior citizens' meeting, and 7:15, the men's outreach on the doorsteps once again for the Lord Jesus. On Wednesday evening at 7:10, we have the children's meetings. They'll be at Macarrah Primary School and also in the complex. And do please remember that on Wednesday evening. On Thursday evening at 8 o'clock, we have the prayer meeting and Bible study. Do gather with us and open the scriptures and have a desire to come to pray. That is on Thursday evening in the will of the Lord. On Friday evening, there's an ordination service of our brother, Mr. Armin Tomasian, and that is in our Ballymoney congregation. Our brother has been called of God to Calgary Free Presbyterian Church in Canada and will be installed on the 6th of March in the will of God. But the ordination service will be in Ballymoney on Friday evening. The Reverend Greer, moderator, will be speaking at that meeting. On Saturday evening at 7:20, we have the prayer time for the young people. And then at 8 o'clock, the youth fellowship. The young people will be taking that meeting themselves. Do please do encourage one another to come to the youth fellowship on Saturday evening. And we pray that God will richly bless even there in that youth fellowship work. I believe our brother Noel Stevenson was with the youth fellowship last evening, and our brother Uncle Noel, as they call him, there's a leaflet there in the hallway. There's some leaflets are in the hallway concerning what the Lord is doing through our brother in the land of the Philippines. Then next Lord's Day, in the will of God, the services, 10:45 is the Sabbath school, the Bible classes, 12 noon is family worship, and 7 o'clock the old-time gospel evening service. Now, next Lord's Day, we have the visitation of the students of the college, and the students will be taking both morning and evening meeting here in the will of the Lord next Lord's Day. So remember the students in the will of God next Lord's Day, both morning and evening service. I'd also mention the 25th of this month, that's Sunday the 25th of January, is a day of prayer and fasting amongst the people of God here. And we do ask you, please put that in your diary and come and seek the face of God together at the throne of grace in prayer. The missionary prayer request for this week, the Reverend John Hanna in Spain and the Reverend Calvin Stripp and family in Liverpool, and the retiring missionary offering is after both services next Lord's Day. Then the missionary, are serving Christ around the world, the little calendar for the prayer request and list for the new year in the will of God. And all the missionaries are in the back of this. You can take a copy of that. That's all in the hallway. Also, Let the Bible Speak magazine is available there, the quarterly magazine of Let the Bible Speak. And you take a copy of those there. They're free out there in the hallway. And please take one and read it and be edified concerning the work of God and the articles that are in the Let the Bible Speak magazine. I think last Lord's Day, it was mentioned, or last Lord's Day evening, those in the free will offering envelopes, someone has lifted the number 4, who actually is as somebody else's. So if there's someone has done that inadvertently, and you have lifted number 4, well, if you could please let the lady have hers back, if it is possible. And we'd appreciate that. That is the number 4 of the free will offering envelopes. And of course, if there are those who do desire those, see our brother Sandy, and I trust and pray that you will indeed give as the Lord has blessed and as the Lord has prospered you. We thank God for what the Lord is doing as we do remember missionary work. I hear of God's moving in the land of Ukraine, and since in recent days some 30 precious souls have come to Christ there, and we just thank God for this. And God is working in a marvelous way. And even one of the Russian rebel soldiers has been brought to Christ. And so we thank God for this and do pray that God will continue to move and continually bless even in the work there in the land of Ukraine. And we have the privilege of supporting that. We thank you for the support that has been given to that work there and the blessing that God is giving as well. We'd like to extend our sympathy to families who have been bereaved. I believe the family circle of our brother Ronnie and Helen and the passing of a loved one. We pray that God will comfort and sustain there. We and the rest of the Mitchell family. We also do remember the Ritchie home and our sister Eileen Campbell and the passing of a brother-in-law, and also the wide circle of the Johnson family in the passing, the sudden passing yesterday of Ireland. And we pray that God will comfort and sustain them even at this time, and that the Lord will be with them. I believe Ireland's wife is in Australia visiting the family there, and so therefore is making her way home. So pray for her that God will bring her safely home, that the Lord will watch over her even as she travels, and bless the family circle at this time. There is one happy note that I want to mention, because I do believe, and I hope I have this right, I believe that John and Marion Palmer's married 50 years, and so therefore Marion needs a medal, and therefore we do congratulate seriously John and Marion. We pray that God will bless you and give you many more years together, and the Lord's hand will be upon you indeed over in a special time of anniversary and celebration. We're going to turn to hymn 184, and we'll keep our seats, and our offering for God's work will be received at this time. 184. There is a book that comes to me from one who spake of old, who calls the shepherd voice the flock that wanders from the fold. 'Tis old, yet ever new. 184. We'll keep our seats. Our offering for God's work will be received. The opportunity of welcoming those who are listening in on the World Wide Web today. We thank you for joining us. We pray that God will bless you as you join us here and gather with us in the house of the Lord. We'd ask God's people also to remember the sick of our congregation, quite a number who are sick at this time. We need you to pray for them and pray that God will graciously draw near, the Lord will help them, and also the Lord will heal them. Do remember them, please, in your prayers.
I'd ask you to turn, please, to the book of Exodus this morning, and the chapter number 1. Exodus chapter number 1, and commencing to read at verse number 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. Joseph died, and all his brethren and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. They built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And then turn over to chapter 6. And the word of God says in chapter 6 and verse number 6, Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Amen. With God's word open before us, let's pray and seek his face for his blessing upon the word of God today. Eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege of reading this book, the book of Revelation to our hearts, a revelation of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, a revelation of who we are as we stand before thee in our sin, revelation of the gospel, of how we can be reconciled to God through the Savior. We thank thee, Lord, for this word, and we pray that it will be written upon our hearts today. We thank thee, Lord, for this book that speaks to us of a God who is able to deliver his people. And we pray, O Lord, that we will rejoice from the depths of our heart for those who have been delivered from their sin. We pray, O Lord, that we will leave God's house rejoicing in what God has done and is continuing to do in our lives. And I pray, Lord, if there are any this morning who are not saved, have never been delivered from their bondage, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased this morning to loose the chains that bind them and set them free. Lord, we acknowledge that only the truth of God's word, applied effectually to the heart, can set a man or a woman, boy or girl free. And therefore we pray, Lord, that thou wilt give me faithfulness in the proclamation of thy truth. But, O Lord, that will be attended by thy Spirit, and, Lord, it will be written upon hearts today, not just in minds, not just going into the ear, but going into the heart, changing the life, redeeming the soul. Lord, thou art able to do this. Lord, thou art able to save everyone in this gathering today. And we will not limit thee today, Lord, but we will look to thee for great things. Lord, restore those who are cold today. Restore the backslidden. Take God's people on with thyself and save the lost, we pray. We're looking not to man this morning, for there is no help in man, but we're looking to the Lord. Our confidence is in thee and in thy word, Lord. And therefore, empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy Spirit. Give me the ability to deliver thy word. O Lord, what a solemn responsibility. And I pray, O Lord, that thou wilt not allow me to depend on myself this morning, but wholly on my God. Lord, I pray you'll cover this place in the precious blood. Take away all distractions. Make this word relevant, applicable, and effectual. For we ask it in our Savior's precious and most worthy and eternal name. Amen. For those who weren't here on Sunday night last, I started a series which takes us through the books of the Bible. And each time I preach, I'm going to be studying one of the books, giving an overview pointing out some of the key themes with the idea that those who listen will go home and read that book. I trust you read Genesis last week. I'll not ask for a show of hands this week anyway. And I trust you'll read Exodus this week as we look at some of the key themes. Now, where Genesis was the book of beginnings, we find that Exodus 2 can be described in one word. It can be described as the book of redemption. And therefore, that is the theme of the second book of the Old Testament. Anytime we come to the gospel or think about God's word in context, we must start at the beginning. We must start with the fact there is a creator God, that sin has entered into the world, that God does punish sin, that sin does separate from God. And in doing so, we present the truths. But it's not enough just to have the facts, because facts don't save a person or change their condition. They must be redeemed from that condition. You see, sinners don't just need facts, they also need faith. Sinners just don't need to know God about God, they need to know God in a personal manner. And Exodus teaches us that that is possible. What is the theme of the book of Exodus? Redemption. Redemption from your sinful condition into the family of God. Redemption from bondage into freedom. We can know God. That is a wonderful statement. We can know the one who created heaven and earth. We can be in a covenant relationship with God. I trust you're not seeking to try and please God in your own way, but that you're coming God's way, the way of redemption, the way of the blood, that you might be saved, that you might know the experience of the children of Israel, an ever-present God in your midst who walks with you and talks with you and delivers you through every trial of life. We can divide Exodus into three parts. Part number one is chapters 1-4, and that speaks to us of the bondage of Israel. Then from chapters 5 through to chapter 18, we have the redemption of Israel. Then from chapters 19 through to the end, chapter 40, we have the instructions to Israel. And notice the order: bondage, redemption, and instruction. And that's the order God works in a person's life. He deals first with your bondage. Man is brought to realize his bondage. And then he's brought to redemption. After they're awakened in their sin, they call for deliverance. And then they're instructed in the things of God. Sometimes people try to be instructed in the things of God, but they've never been redeemed. Sometimes people try to instruct others in the things of God, and they've never been redeemed either. The order is, I realize I'm a sinner. I flee to Christ for the redemption freely offered in him, and then I'm instructed in the things of God. Then I can obey the word of God. Then I can go God's way. Now I want to consider some themes from this book this morning. And the first theme I want us to look at is the thought of Pharaoh. Now in the word of God and in the book of Exodus, Pharaoh is a picture of Satan, in that he holds the people there in bondage. Now, in Genesis, we learned there in chapter 3 that Satan desires to destroy through sin. Sin always destroys. But you know, in Exodus, we learned something else about Satan through Pharaoh. In Exodus, we learn that Satan desires us to compromise in sin. Now, how does he do that? Well, God gave three commands to Pharaoh. Whenever Moses stood before him, there were three commands that were to be given. First command is found in Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 18. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And then in chapter 4 and verse number 23, and this is the second command, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And then in chapter 5, verse number 1, and afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Now, there's three things there that God desires for his people. Number one, he desires sacrifice.
And in our lives as God's people, our sacrifice is the giving of ourselves. We read about that in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, you present yourselves a living sacrifice. And that's what God desires of you this morning, that you lay your life on the altar for him. Lord, what you want me to do, I will do. Where you want me to go, I will go. What you want me to be, by thy grace, I will be. But then the second thing was service, that they may serve me. Now, where sacrifice is the giving of yourself, service is the using of yourself. And God has a use for every child of his. Everyone that's been redeemed by blood, there's a use for you. Don't you think you're too far gone or your past being used by God? But there is a use for you, from praying to preaching to singing to testifying to serving to loving to hospitality. There are many different avenues in Scripture where you can serve the Lord, and there is service for you. And then there is also fellowship. Because it says there, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And that speaks of fellowship. And what is that? Encouraging of oneself. God wanted his people to come together to be encouraged in the Lord. And is that not what even the New Testament teaches us? Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. You know, coming together as God's people on the Sabbath day, morning and evening, it's not something we have to do because God says, but it's something we get to do. So a great privilege to meet together. To meet together with God and God's people, that we might have fellowship, that we might encourage one another, that we might go on with one another. And you know what Pharaoh said? Pharaoh said, no. And that's what Satan says to the Christian. No, I don't want you to sacrifice yourself. I don't want you to be in service. I don't want you to have fellowship. And that's exactly Satan's desire for you this morning, child of God. That you might miss out on the thrill and the blessing of going through with God. And you know what Pharaoh did? Pharaoh gave compromises. Compromises. Chapter 8 and verse number 25. Here's what he said. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. That was the first compromise. You see, God desired that the people would leave the land and leave the place of Egypt to go out and worship him and set up their worship in the wilderness. But here's what Pharaoh's saying. Okay, I'll let you sacrifice to your God, but do it here. What was he saying? He wanted to put Jehovah, the one true God, on the same level as the other Egyptian gods. Just worship here like other people are worshiping their gods. Everyone has the right to religion, so why don't you worship God here and let us worship our God here and we'll all worship together and do the same thing. You know what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians? Come ye out from among them and be ye separate. The worship of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the living Savior, the one who can deliver from sin, friend, that's not a religion. That is truth. That is absolute truth. There's a wide difference between religion and Christ. Don't ever say I'm good living. Don't ever say I'm religious. Say I'm a born again Christian. I'm born again by the Spirit of God. I'm saved by the grace of God, by the blood that Jesus Christ shed for me. Touch not the unclean thing, the Lord says. And the blessing of separation is this, that he will receive you and be a father unto them. Satan continually calls believers and churches to compromise. Be a little bit more like the world and you get more people in. Don't speak against sin because that shows intolerance. Don't expect too much from young believers. They're not able to do much for the Lord. And these things are compromises and are against the things of God. Holiness, which of course is the great end of sacrifice and service and fellowship. Holiness is God's promise to his people and our privilege to be part of. Lot's failed separation, Lot's worldliness, caused his very children to laugh in his face when he started to speak to them about God. When God gives a command, it's for our good and for his glory, not a discussion on how it must be interpreted, but to be followed. And then Pharaoh gave another compromise. He said there in chapter 8 and verse number 28, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away and treat for me. So this time, he says, okay, I'll let you sacrifice, but you're not to go too far away. You know, the Lord desired to loose the chains completely in their bondage, that they might be free. But Pharaoh didn't want them to go too far away. And you know, that's what the world says to the church. Okay, worship your God, but don't go too far. Don't go too far. Don't be too extreme in your practices or in your standards or in your worship. If you have to serve and worship, do that, but don't be too extreme. You know how the Lord describes the church and the unsaved, the differences he puts between them? Darkness and light. Life and death. Lost and found. And the reality is this, you can never go too far with God. But Satan will always try to keep you from going too far with God or going through with God. And then there was a third compromise in chapter 10 and verses 9 to 11. And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old and with our sons and with our daughters and with our flocks and our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, and I will let you go. And your little ones look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that did ye desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. And what is being said there in verse 10? And your little ones look to it, for the evil is before you. He's saying that men only were to go. Okay, the men can go. Did you see the woman and the children? You have to leave them behind. You have to leave them behind. You go and worship God, go far away into the wilderness, but leave the wives and leave the children. Oh, the subtlety and the wickedness of Satan. The Lord tells us in his word that we are to pray for our loved ones. And we are to pray for our children. And sometimes even in Christian parents, the Lord can say, well, or Satan can say, well, you're saved. Don't expect too much of your children. Don't put too much pressure on them. Don't bring them to too many meetings. And the reality is, he is saying, don't worry about their soul. Don't worry about their soul. You know, they're parents and they won't bring their children to meetings, but they'll take them anywhere else that the world requires them to be. If you're a parent, God has given you a very precious gift. A gift that you will have to stand and give an account for. And if you're saved, don't leave your children behind. Don't leave your family behind. Don't leave your friends behind. Make it your number one priority to be on your knees for your family. That's the greatest blessing you can be to them. Children must be prayed for. Family unity and protection must be prayed for. What was Pharaoh seeking to do? To split the family up. And that's exactly what Satan desires for your family. Christian man or woman, to split your family up. We need to pray for families. We need to pray for unity. And we're encouraged because we're remembered when we pray, God answers prayer, because there was a man who prayed for many years for the son who went into the far country. And you know what? One day he came home. The prodigal can be saved. Don't give up hope this morning. Don't be discouraged or disheartened because that prayer hasn't been answered yet. Pray on. Pray on. The Lord will bring the last one to him. And then there was one more compromise, and it's found in chapter 10 and verse number 24. And there in chapter 10, verse 24, Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones go with you. Okay, I'll let everyone go. But you must keep behind your flocks and your herds. Now, what was the compromise there? Well, you can go and do your worship and your serving, but keep back that which will actually be useful in your service. In other words, they needed the flocks and they needed the herds to sacrifice to God. So what he was saying was to keep away all those things which could be used to serve God. The animal sacrifice, that was the way God had appointed for them to worship him, to approach him. In other words, go and worship your God, but don't take everything you have. Leave something behind. And you know, once again, Satan will try and bring this into the heart of believers. I don't have to give my talents to the Lord. I don't have to tithe or give money to the Lord. I don't have to give my time to the Lord. I don't have to give my abilities to the Lord. Sure, I go to church. Surely that's enough. I attend. That is worshiping God. That's serving God. But God requires your all. Don't leave behind the very things that can be used to worship God. The things that can be used to promote God. Have you a talent that the Lord can use? Give it to him in prayer. Have you money that ought to be used for the things of God? Give it and you will not go without. Have you time that could be used more profitably rather than being in the world or watching the world or listening to the world or reading about the world? Give it to the Lord. Perhaps you have abilities that can be used in the house of God. There we have lessons from Pharaoh in the book of Exodus. But while we see the bondage that Pharaoh holds the people in, thank God, the great theme of redemption comes to us when we come to chapter 6 and verse number 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. Now, when we think about Israel's redemption here, there's several things we must note. Number one, God allowed them to realize their sin. It's very interesting, but if you read chapter 1, you will find that the children of Israel were in bondage, and they came under the bondage of the Egyptians at that time, and they are slaves to the Egyptians. Although in their bondage, they grew numerically, and they grew in strength, but nowhere in that chapter do we find them desiring to be free. Nowhere in that chapter do we find them desiring to be in their own country or to be their own nation. They seem to be happy and content where they are. Is that not a picture of many sinners today? They're sinners and they're a heartbeat from hell, maybe sitting in this meeting this morning. And you know what? They don't want to be free from their sin. They have no concern about their soul. They don't care about what will happen in eternity right now. Yes, they're under bondage. The very hand of the devil is upon them, and they don't care. So in grace, you know what the Lord did? The Lord allowed them to feel their bondage. And that's the first thing that happens in a sinner's life before they're saved. They start to realize they're a sinner. The Lord allows them to feel a little of the burden. Oh, what a blessing that the Lord does this, because it says in chapter 2, in verse 23, and it came to pass in the process of time. See, time passed and the Lord allowed something to happen, that the king of Israel died and the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage. And they cried and they groaned. You see, they were starting to feel the burden. God permitted them to feel the hardships of being under a wicked taskmaster. Perhaps you're in this meeting, you're realizing, you know what? Being in control of my own life and running after sin and doing that which God forbid isn't all it was promised to be. Satan promised me fun. Sin promised me contentment and fulfillment. And you know what? I went and grabbed it with both hands. And you know, I really don't have anything to show for it, other than a record of sin against God, other than a broken life or broken relationships, broken dreams, because I went after sin rather than going after God. And then God showed grace toward them again, not only in letting them feel their sin, but letting them call unto him. God showed grace. And there are five things that God did to these people. In verse 24, he heard them. Then verse 24, he remembered the covenant that he made, the covenant that they would be a people, more innumerable than the very stars of the sky or the sands of the seashore. God remembered his promise and acted within that promise. And then in verse 25, God looked upon them. And then God had respect unto them, verse 25. In other words, he knew exactly their problem and their need. And then in verse 2 of chapter 3, the fifth thing that the Lord did, the angel of the Lord appeared. God came. God saw, God heard, God knew, God remembered, and God came. If you're under the burden of your sin, through this word, God comes to you and says, come unto me, and I will deliver you. I will be a God to you. I will save you. And God saved them through a blood sacrifice. See, the bloodline is running through Scripture here. The gospel is here so very clearly. As the blood is applied to the doorposts, God's judgment was warned. God will judge sin. God's way was declared through the blood. And God followed through on what he said he would do. What was the symbol or the sign that the people had to show that they were obedient to God? It was the blood. And there's a little phrase in the book of Exodus which I think is one of the most precious phrases. When I see the blood. When I see the blood. What does that little phrase teach us? Well, the word when. You see, God will judge. And God will look at your life and my life for evidence of our obedience to him. When? That is going to happen. But then notice it says, when I. And it's God who's the judge. You're not asked to give a resume of your life. You're not asked to give the best parts of your life and nobody else is given an account for you. Here's what it says. When I, God will be looking. God alone will see. And he will have the final say in our standing. But when I see, God sees all things. Maybe this morning in this meeting you've sought to cover your sin by religion. Or you sought to cover your sin in a manner that causes people to think you're saved, but God sees right into your soul. What is it God's looking for? When I see the blood. The bloodshed of Calvary, the covenant token and symbol of salvation. What did that blood say in the book of Exodus? It said that this home was obedient to God's commands. It said that death had already been in this home today. That a substitute had been slain and that blood had been shed. And that is exactly what the blood upon the Christian says. When God sees the blood, it says that that child has been obedient to God's command. That this life has already seen death in the form of a substitute. Sin has been dealt with. And only the blood could save the people from God's judgment. And only the blood can save you in the judgment of God. Only the blood. Hymn writer said, it's still the blood that saves from sin. Still the blood that cleanses within from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It's still the blood of Jesus that brings victory for me. The blood saves, it reconciles, and it cleanses. And not only were they safe from the wrath of God against sinners, God brought them out of bondage. And as you read through this book, in the will of God this week, you will find that coming out of bondage wasn't an easy thing because there came to a point where it seemed it was impossible. They stood at the Red Sea. They had fled at God's command for their freedom, but there was a barrier. There was something that made freedom seem as far away as ever. The sea before them, the mountains around them, the army behind them. And they learned this lesson, only God can deliver from bondage. Had they run at their own decision, they would have realized that the sea was impassable. The mountains were so high that the armies could go after them and capture them and bring them back again. But they went at God's command. This wasn't their decision. And while it seemed impossible as they were standing, do you know what the command was to go forward? And maybe it seems impossible to you that you could be saved from particular sins. Or something that so easily besets. Maybe it seems impossible for your lifestyle to be changed, or for your unclean life or lips to be changed by the grace of God. But the Israelites had only one place to look to, and that was up to God. And when they looked to God, God rolled away the sea. And what seemed impossible in a moment was dealt with by God. What does that teach us? God can deal with your greatest barriers and your greatest obstacles. God's command is to go forward, and there's nothing that can stand before you if you're going forward at His command and you're going forward in His name that He can't take out of the way in but a moment. The sea was rolled away. We still serve the God today who rolls the sea away. No matter what the burden, no matter what the obstacle, no matter what it is, God can sweep it away. But there's a lesson here. Our hearts are thrilled when we consider redemption. Our hearts are thrilled even this morning as we think about what God did for His people and what God has done for us. But there is a lesson. We must never forget. You say, surely you wouldn't forget. Slaying the lamb, putting it in the door, knowing the judgment of God passed through, standing at the sea and the sea opening, and you passing through the sea and the Egyptians destroyed. Surely you could never forget that. But the word of God says in Psalm 106:21, they forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Israel. Psalm 78 tells us they often provoked Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. They turned back and they tempted God. And listen, they limited the Holy One of Israel. God's people can forget and God's people can limit God. Is that you this morning? Maybe you're in this meeting. I don't think I can be delivered from my circumstances. I don't think my family will be saved. I don't think I'll be able to make it through. Are you limiting God this morning? Have you forgotten what God has brought you from? The greatest miracle that has ever occurred in your life has already happened. You've been saved. And God stepped in. And God saved you. Never forget God. Isn't it amazing that the Lord told them when they went into the land of Canaan, beware lest ye forget. Why did God say that? Because He knew about the heart of man. We forget so easily, don't we? Forget so easily the blessings of God. Out of the 10 who were healed by the Lord, only one remembered to come and give thanks. Child of God, it is imperative that you start every morning at the cross and you finish every evening at the cross. And you say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. That you think much about the blood, that you think much about the book, that you think much about the Savior and your deliverance, what you were, what you are now, and thank God what you're going to be when you get to heaven. Your church is today. And they say, you don't need to preach the gospel every week. I believe you need to preach it every day. I believe you need to read it every day. I believe you need to pray it every day. One of the other major themes in this book is the Ten Commandments, or the law that was given from chapter 19 through to verse 40, or chapter 40. And I guess we could summarize it in the Ten Commandments and then summarize it again, as we did a few Sunday nights ago, into the two laws. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and then love thy neighbor as thyself. But there are many different laws that have been given in God's word. The purpose of them is to order or regulate living. There's a purpose in everything that the Lord does, that we might have regulated living, a standard of right and wrong, a measure for what pleases God, and of course the law is also a teacher to show us our need of God. Friends, we have seen this week in the news very clearly, and we've seen it every day of our lives, but specifically in this week, what happens when God's law is abandoned and another's law is substituted? What happens? Anarchy. Chaos, devastation, and destruction. See, when you deviate from this book and God's way, then that happens. Whether it's in your own personal life, you make a decision to go against this book, you'll find anarchy and chaos, and you'll find devastation and destruction within your life. See, when a church goes against this book, anarchy and chaos. Man is exalted, God is demoted. Whenever we do not go through with God. And not as the law isn't just the Old Testament, the law is the New Testament as well. There are instructions given on how to run a church and how to govern a church.
And when those are set aside and man's decisions and opinions are given a higher authority than God's, then chaos and anarchy. And you can see throughout the land there are many places because man's decisions have been paramount. Then people have broken away because they don't agree, and then they set up another place, and then they start at work, and then man's decisions, and something happens, and they go away. Why? Because there is no standard. The only standard for a church is the Word of God. The only rule for a church is the Word of God. The only opinion that matters to a church is the Word of God. And when you get someone who wants to give their opinion above and beyond the Word of God, that's contrary to the Word of God, then they're in direct contrast to God. Direct opposition. And that results in chaos, anarchy, devastation, and destruction. It is imperative as a church we love this book. And that we live this book. And we preach this book. And we obey this book. And it's imperative in your life that that matters. Our brother Noel Stevenson last night said a very striking thing. It really struck me. And he was talking about the right way and God's way. And he says, you know, you don't need to look into my face and tell me that you're going God's way. You need to be able to look into God's eye and say, Lord, I'm going your way. And I thought about that, and I thought about this. You don't need to be able to look at the preacher in the eye and say you're seeking to live for the Lord by the Word of God. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what the preacher thinks. And there are a lot of people saying, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and justifying what they're doing by the Word of God. You need to be able to look into the eye of God and say, Lord, this is your way in my life. That's sobering. Every decision, every relationship, my membership in my congregation, my faithfulness to it, Lord, I'm going your way. My friend, if you can do that, then you'll be the greatest blessing to this church. You'll be the greatest blessing to Christians around you. If you're able to look into the eye of the Lord and say, Lord, wholeheartedly, I want to go thy way. Finally, I want us to, very briefly, I'm just going to mention these to you at some point in the future. We will preach on these things because they're Christ. The final thought is pictures of Christ in the book of Exodus. And I'm just going to leave them with you very briefly. One of the very first pictures of Christ is Moses. Moses was venerated as the prophet, the greatest prophet of Israel. He was often quoted in the New Testament. And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ stood before the Jewish people, he said, Art thou greater than Moses? And the interesting thing is this, Moses prophesied about the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses spoke of Christ, and I'll just give you one example, and it tells us in John chapter 1:45, Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Isn't that amazing? It really is amazing to me, the darkness of the Jewish scriptural teachers. Because they knew the Old Testament, yet they didn't recognize that Christ was the fulfillment. But there, and in the book of Acts, chapter 3:22, and in 26, verse 22, he spoke of Christ. Now, Christ is a prophet. Now, what's a prophet? A prophet was one who delivered, or was a messenger from God, and a messenger of God. But the interesting thing about Christ was he was a greater prophet than Moses, because not only was he a messenger from God, but he was the very message that was preached. Christ is our prophet, for we need delivered from the ignorance of our sin. Therefore, Christ came and proclaimed the way. Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That Lamb that was slain that day and put his blood put in the doorpost, picture of Christ, the blood had to be shed and applied, that God's judgment might be satisfied. Then we have the cloud and the fire, and that's a picture of Christ, the abiding one. Symbols of God's presence. The fire by night gave light. The cloud by day gave protection. In other words, even in the darkest of days, they were able to see God's will and God's way. In the brightest of days, they were secure because God surrounded them with that pillar of cloud. What a testimony to the other nations.
God's protection and God's provision. Then the manna and the water, and that speaks to us of Christ who satisfies. And you'll find in John chapter 6 that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of the manna, and he said, but a greater than manna is here. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And the water teaches us that not only does Christ work in us, satisfy, but it's an eternal satisfaction because he said, he that drinketh the water of life shall never thirst again. The rock speaks to us of Christ who was smitten. Smitten once to bring forth that which was necessary for life. The tabernacle, that speaks to us of Christ, the way to approach God. It also reminds us that God dwelt among his people. You know, before a man could enter into the holy place, he had to pass two things. He had to pass the place of offering, the place of sacrifice, and then also the laver. What does that speak to us? The sacrifice had to be made to atone for sin. And then he had to be washed to be made clean. You see, you cannot come into the presence of God without being saved and without being clean. Child of God, remember that. Let's ask God for cleansing when we come to pray. A cleansing of our word and our thoughts and our deeds. And then the great high priest speaks of Christ our priest. Once a year, the land of Israel, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies with the blood that had been shed. It was sprinkled upon the mercy seat, and that made atonement for the sins of the nation for that year. And this was repeated yearly. But let me finish just with the words of Hebrews chapter 7 and the verse number 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth forever, that is Christ, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sin, and then for his people. For he did once when he offered up himself. And that's why we no longer have to go to a temple. And we no longer have to get the lamb and slay the lamb and pour the blood out. Because the one of whom that was a picture, the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world, has come. As the Lamb of God, he shed his precious blood. And as the high priest of God, he took that blood and presented it before the Father. That's the blood that makes atonement for my soul. Christ has entered into heaven with the blood that he shed. I thank God I'm pardoned and I am free. See, this book is full of Christ. It's full of redemption. And I trust and pray, child of God, as you read it, your heart will be thrilled as you see Christ in every page, every chapter. But if you're not saved this morning, I pray that the one of whom we have spoken will be the one to whom you will turn. For a judgment is coming. The wrath of God will be poured out on sinners, and only those under the blood of the Lamb can be saved, can come through the judgment and enter into heaven. Make sure you're under the blood. Make sure you're saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge this morning that there's so much of this book that brings us to Christ. And our hearts are thrilled this morning. We consider he is the pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Thank you, he's our manna, he's our water. Thank you, he's a lamb sacrificed for our sin. Thank you, he's a prophet that teaches us in the way. Thank you, he is the priest that ever liveth to pray for us. Oh, what a Savior. Thank thee, Lord, but just like the children of Israel are brought out of Egypt, many of God's people here today have the testimony that we've been saved from the bondage of our sin. Lord, we pray that we'll ever live in the freedom that thou hast set us free. Pray, Lord, you'll ever give us deliverance over sin. Pray you'll help us to go on with thee, not to compromise like Satan would want, but to go through with God.
And I pray, Lord, if there's one in this meeting that's not saved, we'll flee to Christ this morning for refuge, for the blood. And know on that day when God sees the blood, he will stand guard over them, because they are his. Lord, take this church on with thee, we pray. Bless us in truth, we ask. And bless this meeting around thy table, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.